Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, encouraging you to express yourself, not in a Madonna kind of way, but express yourself with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, sent to idea@wretched.org, or you can use the text machine, 877-282-2337. I didn't realize my job required exercise.
This is from Anonymous.
A little lightheaded.
Todd, my pastor has been mentioning Philippians 3:8 multiple times over the last few years in sermons, and every time he says that scubalon is translated to the swear word that refers to dung.
No.
Is that accurate?
No, it's not. I can understand why a pastor would regularly quote a particular verse. It is a great verse. I got all of my self-righteousness, it's like refuse. I could even live with scubalon being dung, a descriptive word. It's earthy, but it wouldn't be considered in our culture, in our context. That wouldn't be a swear word. Otherwise, I wouldn't be using it. And Paul was saying something super profound. That's all garbage. What I have in Christ, that's the ticket. I can understand a pastor quoting that regularly, but always bringing up scubalon and saying, as if we've discovered something cool. Do you know why we think that some people, I should say, think that scubalon is a filth word? Because we found it on like a wall of graffiti. Well, see, it has to be a foul word. No, it doesn't. Paul would be violating his own precepts that he codified to the Ephesians 4:28 through about 5:4. No coarse words or jesting. Watch your mouth. Furthermore, let's just imagine the scene for a moment, shall we? Paul likely was using an amanuensis, a scribe, somebody to write it down. He would have to have said, I counted all, beep, and then just let it stand. And not say, whoa, 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 don't use that word. Let's clean that up and use it. He would have had time. It's not like it was captured on tape. It is absolutely ludicrous to think that Paul had a potty mouth. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Cade. Todd, my pastor is about 2 years in, and he has declared that Christmas and Easter are now dedicated to non-believers. For the last 2 years, he's instituted a festival, full-on festival, complete with a petting zoo, rides, and free food in order to draw unbelievers in to preach the gospel to them. And obviously, preaching the gospel is priority, but am I wrong for feeling a bit uncomfortable with the marketing of our church like this?
Well, it depends on what they're marketing, because if they're marketing, they want to do some sort of Christmas thing with petting zoos and what have you out in the front lawn. I'm not sure our church would make that decision, but I wouldn't condemn a pastor who did. We want to use it to bring people in. The kids will come. They'll get some treats. We're going to give them some literature. We will perhaps even preach or evangelize. Okay, whether I do it or not, irrelevant. I think that liberty exists. The Sunday morning service or an Easter celebration, and not a chance. They can't appreciate it. It's not for them. It's for the church, the assembling of the saints, the called out ones. That is what our gatherings are about. Our formal Sunday morning gathering is for sheep, not for goats. Can a goat wander in? Yes, they can. But that doesn't mean we do church for them. Furthermore, the celebration of our Lord's incarnation and his resurrection is not a marketing tool, not a gimmick. It is those 2 days, okay, actually, I'm getting close to saying there's a third day that is way high up on the days worth celebrating, and that would be the ascension of Jesus Christ and the significance to that happening 40 days after he rose from the grave. Those are big deals. Those are ours. They're not supposed to be used as a marketing ploy. So it does reveal that if they're doing it for Sunday service, you got an ecclesiology issue, and you've got an issue of failing to believe that what we do on Sunday morning, that's not for outsiders. They're welcome, but we don't do it for them, which is, by the way, for whatever this, you just take and do with this as you see fit. I don't think that somebody is sinning when they do what we don't do at Alpharetta Bible Church, but we do it. This is what we decided to do. The current mindset that we all have a propensity to possess regarding church is, it has to make me happy, or at least not cause me to fall asleep. And therefore, I can go to it with a pretty critical attitude. And that's a danger for all of us. And it comes from a mindset that the seeker-sensitive movement tapped into decades ago, a consumeristic mindset that church is for me. It's not. Church is for our worship is for the Lord, and it is for those who are the called out ones, but we as the called out ones, we do it for him. Church on Sunday morning, that's our primary focus. Does that mean that's all we do? We're just robots? No, we get fed in the process, but we're there offering worship. We're giving to God, whether it is giving, whether it is singing, whether it is praying, whether it is hearing from him. This is all about him. That's why what we chose to do with the announcement thing, you have no idea what sort of anarchy announcements can cause in a church. When do we do the announcement? Do we do them before the benediction? Do we do it at the beginning of the... This is what we chose to do. We chose to do the announcements. We start at 10:30. We do the announcements 10:30. Start before the worship. Everybody's gathered. Good morning. These are the announcements. Now, you're going to listen to the first hymn that we're going to be singing, and you're going to prepare your heart as we begin worship. And when that starts, there's no more chit-chat. There's no more casual conversation. There's no casualness about it. Why? Because each and every one of the elements is being done for him. And so that means if I take the pulpit, and believe me, it's a temptation. Hey, everybody, so do you like the new chairs or what? Isn't this great to have these? Oh, thank you, Lord, for great chairs. Because, you know, the old chairs sit there, oh, break your law. None of it. None of it. Why? Because we're not doing this casual social thing. We're worshiping God. And if your church does it differently, I don't think it's a tragic sin that you're committing. That's just because we see church as being something that is super, super special and super, super important. And that is why we don't do it for outsiders. They can't do church. They can watch church, but they do not participate. You got a church of 200. You got 20 visitors. And they're unbelievers. They can't do church. They can't participate. They can't offer anything that is pleasing to God. You got to be in order for it to be efficacious. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this next question is from Kelly. Todd, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I'm typically home when the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons come to my door. And every time we do have an interaction, and I'm left with a mix of excitement and sadness.
Yeah,
I feel like I didn't say all the things that needed to be said.
Yes, you did.
So how can I evangelize to groups who think they know Jesus and admit to being sinners, but are also deceived by their respective organizations?
To quote Liam Neeson in Taken, good luck. Actually, that wasn't him. That was the guy who kidnapped the daughter. Good luck. The guy, Marco from Tropoia. That movie, it airs all the time on like the whatever the channel is where they do movies, and they clean it up so it's actually watchable. It's one of those movies. It's like Shawshank Redemption. I gotta watch this. if it's the clean, if it's not the clean version, don't. But if it's all sanitized, there's something about that movie. Good luck. And that's what I would say to you when it comes to witnessing to Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. If there were ever a demonstration that we need God to do the converting, it is with a J-Dub or a Mormon, because they are trained, they are steeped in their confusion, and they have a way to defend against everything. They know what our statements and arguments are. They know it. They prepare them for it. Good luck. Rely on the Holy Spirit and know this. You do say everything that is supposed to be said. How do I know? Because if God wanted you to say something else, you would have said it, but you didn't, so he didn't. And you can trust that. You can rest in that. Just be faithful. Point them to their need. This would be my one tip regarding Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They are work-righteous systems. And if you get into debates about the deity of Jesus Christ, the planet Kolob, you're just going to chase your tail. And I find it very fruitless. Go to their conscience. You're in a work righteous. What are you doing with all of your sins? Who's paying for all of your sins? Wait a second. You're saying you're paying for your sins? What do you do with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? And even if you never get to the gospel, let their conscience convict them, because that is your strongest ally. This is Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year? Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary returned to their native land, where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners, because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, we are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of faithfulness, This is Wretched Radio. If you happen to be one of those individuals that we hear from, sending emails to idea@wretched.org, that feels the pressure to make everything work out right, I would like to relieve you of that burden with one word: faithfulness. You, not only are you not called to fix everything and make everything right, what is crystal clear is that you can't make anything right. If something that you're planning and doing turns out well, it is because God has ordained it and God has providentially brought it to pass. Your contributions, they were real, but you are not responsible for the outcomes. You are responsible for faithfulness. Example, your children, they have wandered away from the faith and you are pistol whipping yourself because what did I do? How did I fail? Now, the answer is maybe you failed at being faithful. Maybe you failed at not always doing things right. But you didn't fail in the sense that you didn't get them saved, because you can't. We can't do anything. We can't make tomorrow turn out the way we imagine it. All we can do is be faithful. Just go about your tasks, asking the Lord to help you, strengthen you, to conform you into the images of his son, and then just go about your business doing stuff, and then just leave it to him. That's what Jesus said. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. You ain't going to fix nothing. You're worrying, ain't going to get the job done. You can't do anything except be faithful. And I'm telling you, I know this applies to many Christians in many different regards, because we assume that we are failing. Now, make no mistake, maybe you are, but it's a failure of, if it's a sin, that's a failure. But if you're just failing to be faithful, you need to repent of that and then get on with being faithful and then just leave it to God. The woman who felt like she didn't say everything when the Mormon and the Jehovah's Witness were there, did she sin? Did she sin? Well, the answer is, I don't know, so I'll remove it from her context. If an individual knows that the J-Dubs are going to be showing up every Wednesday, like clockwork, they're there, and they fail to study, they fail to prepare, they fail to pray, they fail to even open up the door. I just don't want to do it, and they don't open up the door. Then they could be sinning because they're not being faithful. But if you've been doing those things, you open up the door, and when you close the door and say, oh, I should have said, my question for you is, were you faithful? Then rest in that. Because if God had wanted you to say it, you would have said it. Now, maybe you learn the next time, but I'm telling you, that time, you shouldn't have said it because you didn't say it. You shouldn't have said it because you didn't say it. I know that sounds like, wait a second, you just put the cart before the horse here. No. You say what God has ordained for you to say. And if you feel like, oh, I didn't, and this can apply to so many different spheres of life. Oh, I didn't. Therefore, nope. Faithfulness. Be faithful. That is what God requires. And then just rest. He's going to take care. If it's good, praise God. If it's bad, praise God, because apparently that is exactly what I needed and what glorifies him. Remember one word if you're feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders: faithfulness. I'm Joe Biden. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Maya. Todd, I live in Canada, where the idea of medical assistance in dying is quickly becoming normalized.
Yep.
How should we respond to a medically assisted death in our family? Should we attend the funeral or not?
This is another one of those Brave New World issues. All right, my knee-jerk reaction to that is yes. Yeah, they died in a sinful way. Now, same thing with a suicide. If somebody took their own life, now that doesn't have that somehow you're going to the funeral and you're giving affirmation to suicide. You're going because somebody died, out of respect for the family, to grieve. You're not sinning in doing so. And I think the same thing would be true with the assisted suicide, which is what it is. You're not affirming it. You're just going to a funeral. Disagree? Please express it. idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with it. I completely agree with it because of the context of what it is, for sure.
No. Did you ever, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have fancied?
No.
What?
No.
Go to what are you even talking about? You mean where the government says it's actually good to end somebody's life prematurely? What are you, that's crazy talk. Well, it isn't anymore in Canada. It's going in that direction. I'm telling you, people with mental health issues, to use the vernacular of the secularists, they can be put down. We're like, we're dogs. Mm. Hey, if you're dealing with a lot of pain, ongoing chronic pain, I don't want that comment to minimize that. I get it. It's hard. It's really hard. Honestly, I wouldn't want it. When it comes to pain, I'd prefer to never experience any of it. And I don't know that I endure it well. And if God determined this is what is best for me, well, he's going to have to support me and grow me through it. Because I got to tell you, I think of ongoing pain and it's like, ooh. So if you've got it, we all understand. But our God has determined we do not get to make a decision to end our lives because of pain and suffering. That too is ordained. And even in your pain, he still has a purpose in it. The earth is not purposeless. Your life isn't purposeless. Maybe you would feel like it sure seems like it. Well, who's making you seem like it is purposeless? It's the world. It could be the devil. It could be lies. But it isn't God. If you're going through that season, it's because he wants you there. It's for your good. Might be. I get it. It's hard. I don't want to be trite. I mean, dismissive. It's for your good. And he's wanting to do something for you in it, even if nobody sees it. idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337 text.
All right, this is from Zach. Todd, I'm currently active duty and have been in service for over 7 years. And throughout my time in the military, it has been a very spiritually dark and sinful place. Over the years, I've been able to give a defense for the hope that's within me and earn respect from the unsaved for not capitulating. But my heart still aches from the constant dishonoring of God and the blasphemy. I don't ever shrink back from a fight or a hard conversation about things, but I do feel sometimes that I've hardened toward it to survive.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm dishonoring him for not getting hurt enough to ask them to stop.
Yeah. That's a big ball of twine. So let me just suggest a couple of concepts that could be applied, perhaps. I think a rule, whether it's military, employment, an association, a friendship, if somebody is having a negative influence on you that is affecting you, it's time to get out. If you're not able to overcome it, it's time to get out. Now, please note, while you're in it, you should be asking yourself the question, am I doing everything to strengthen my spiritual muscles? Am I doing everything to be fully nourished, to be able to influence them more than they're influencing me? Because you maybe you're in this type of an association, but you've been neglecting spiritual disciplines, the means of growth. Well, I would suggest you get on that, then see how you're doing in your environment. Having said that, I think that there's another principle that should be considered when it comes to being in these types of relationships, and that is answering the question, is it my mandate to address every sinful thing I see or hear? And I believe the answer to that is no. It doesn't mean that we never do it, but I don't think that if we are in an environment where people are swearing, you could make a decision to get out because you don't want the kids, because it does affect you. It's like, ooh, that affects me so badly. We got a Joseph run out of here, kids. But it doesn't mean that you have to correct everybody and say everything. It's just not your responsibility to do that. If you and I had to do that, we need to apply it then to not just swearing. Apply it to everything that people do. So when you see those teenage girls wearing their Shorty Shorts, you better say something. Is it our job to point out all of those things in the answer? No, it's not. Somebody who's speeding, you better pull them over and tell them that they're sinning against the Lord because they're not obeying the speed limit signs of the government that God has put in place. Just not your job. Are there times when you can? Yep. Are there times when you should? Absolutely. Do you have to do it every time? No. Are you dishonoring the Lord by not always speaking up? There are times when you should. I get it. I feel that. When somebody blasphemes around me, So maybe you could come up with a quip, a line, something that just is a quick response to that without turning it into its own skirmish. But I don't think you have to feel like you're sinning if you don't point out every single sin in your platoon. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.